The phrase civil rights evokes so many elements of recent American history, from efforts to find equality for African Americans in the mid-20th century to current attempts to reinforce or even create protections for LGBTQ people. And there's been a tendency to associate those protections to groups of people rather than individuals. As part of his new book, Outsiders, Why Difference is the Future of Civil Rights, ASU law professor Zachary Kramer explores in part how individuality could be at the core of civil rights. He even uses the phrase a right to personality. I spoke with Kramer recently and asked him about how many revised statutes we'd need if civil rights were applied to every person individually. Wouldn't that be incredibly complex?
No, it's complex. So the civil rights laws, the statutes that I'm primarily writing about, the model for them all is the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The law as written is written about individuals, right? It talks about individuals' freedom from protection. The law as it has developed around it, because kind of courts develop these laws, they have tended to talk about them in terms of groups. Civil rights is a body of law, but it's also a political movement. And the political movement surrounding civil rights in this country has always been about groups. It's about kind of getting groups access to life in civil society, be it in education, be it in school. The law, I think, began to take shape around the kind of civic and social understanding of how these groups are. But the laws themselves, the actual language, it's always about individuals. And so there is this tension kind of built into the law. And so I don't think of my proposal as being all that radical just in the kind of history of how these laws were originally conceived. We've drifted over time into this way of only talking about groups. And my contribution in the book, I hope, is that we should be talking about people when they are part of a group and when they are an individual. And sometimes you are part of a group, and sometimes you are unique in your membership in that group. And we should understand our identities as kind of in motion all the time.
We evolve as human beings, or at the very least we change. We may not evolve, I guess, depending on which way we go.
But I like to think we evolve.
Okay. I hope so. But it almost butts up against this, then, this concept of, are you part of a certain group for a while, and then you change, or are you in multiple groups? Because as an individual, you will change, but the way society, maybe even law, designates you may not change.
Civil rights law is a series of boxes, and the name of the game is showing that you fit in one of these boxes. And if you fit in one of these boxes, you have the kind of umbrella protection of the law. The boxes are race, sex, religion, and various other boxes. And so folks are often trying to say, I am a member of this box. And one of the big cases that's coming before the Supreme Court this year are the sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination cases. Mm-hmm. The history of, you know, those forms of discrimination have been trying to show that they are sex discrimination and trying to fit in that box. But the larger story here is there are cases where it's your group that you're being, your kind of group membership that you're being discriminated against. If, you know, historically when an employer said African Americans need not apply or women need not apply, that really is about your group membership. But modern discrimination often doesn't take that form. Modern discrimination is often very subtle. It's very nuanced. It's very messy. It's often about how you act, how, what a lot of academics say, how you perform your identity. And so it's not as much about do you have that group membership, but how you are behaving that matters, the kind of language you use, the clothing you wear, the way you carry yourself. Mm-hmm. And so these boxes get very porous. And so, you know, stuff is seeping out. People are trying to push stuff back into them. And it is asking a lot of law to try to patrol boundaries that we are terrible at patrolling in everyday life.
Under the category of discrimination, sometimes there are arguments where discrimination is it can be said to be taking rights away from someone. And yet in this country, we're supposed to be as free as possible. We want to grant more rights. And I almost feel like your book fits perfectly into that, this idea that, no, we're not. We're actually going to not grant more rights, but clarify those rights.
Yeah. I think it's hard not to conceptualize equality work as zero sum. Mm. And that's a consequence of it. I think it's a worthy consequence. When we're trying to achieve equality, it should be costly. It should take a lot of work. And so there are going to be situations where we will have to pick and choose. But in my proposal, it is better than the way it currently works. So the current civil rights law, let's take employment again. If you think that you've been discriminated against, you bring a lawsuit against that employer. Those lawsuits are very hard to win because of the way the law has calcified over the years. But it is very much a zero sum. Either you're a winner or you're a loser. There's either a bad person or a victim, and there's no ability to balance between them. In my proposal, if you feel like you are the victim of discrimination, or you suspect that bias is playing a role in your employment relationship, you have an obligation to speak up and articulate what's going on, who you are, why you think that you are suffering an injury, and ask the employer to say, is there a way that you can structure your workplace so this won't be a problem for me? And the employer is then required to assess whether they can make space.
How many bumps along the way can there be? Must be huge bumps, I would suspect. From the legal standpoint, but also the societal standpoint.
Yeah, there'll be bumps. There's always bumps when you do this kind of work. And we tend to talk about equality as if it's a linear line, but we know it zigs and zags. And there are, you know, the famous quote, the arc, bending toward justice. But no one ever said it was straight, right? It's a curvy arc. We know that. We've seen that.
Yeah.
I tend to be of the opinion that bumps are wonderful learning moments, right? When you bump up against someone who will not kind of let you be you, that is an opportunity to engage. I think the lesson that we can draw from our political life right now is that we could all benefit from talking to each other a little bit more. My vision of how civil rights could improve the employment relationship is one of my primary examples, is the employment situation is special, right? It's the one of the few, if not the only place where you go on a regular basis where you don't have a lot of say in who you are going to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
You are forced to kind of give up some parts of you, and so is everyone else because you're trying to accomplish a mission. There's a lot of room there for people to learn about each other, to break down stereotypes, to be kind of be better at accepting each other. And so bumps are going to happen. It's never going to be perfect. But I think that when you bump up against someone, it is an opportunity to break down stereotypes. It is an opportunity to learn what you have in common and to kind of see that that's also a person and they have a life, they have people in their life that matter to them. They have an identity that is core to who they are, just like you. And so a lot of it is thinking about restructuring the law to force people to reckon with each other, to kind of accept each other and realize that we are all in this together, even though we may go at things very differently.
Zachary Kramer, professor at the O'Connor College of Law at ASU, also author of the new book, Outsiders. Zachary, good to have you here. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.